Greetings and welcome to Growing Good Humans. This podcast is designed to empower parents, educators, and college counselors on how to use this crazy college application process as a way to cultivate leaders and citizens. My name is Laura Barr, and I will be your host. In each episode, I will be talking with seasoned professionals to gain insights on how we can nurture students in a process that is simple, deliberate, and joyful. Welcome.
Okay. Hooray. We're here. I'm so excited. So excited to have everybody here today. As you all know, my name is Laura Barr. I'm the owner and founder of Emerging Educational Consulting. My practice serves students and parents from the beginning to end of the college application process. We wake up every day to grow good humans, and what better way to do that than to provide education and information. I'm really excited today, Amber, to have you here. I am going to let you introduce yourself. I know that we are all excited to hear about Minerva University today, so I'm just going to have you start by giving us your bio, and then we'll go from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. Just thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity. So again, I'm Amber Featherstone. I am the Assistant Dean of Enrollment at Minerva University. And, you know, my whole career has been based around international education. So I started first with a cultural exchange program for teachers that brought teachers from all over the world into classrooms in the U.S. And then went into higher education, working primarily with international students who were coming to study in the U.S. And what led me to Minerva was, A, that love of international and intercultural exchange, and B, just how innovative Minerva is operating and how they're trying to sort of turn higher education on its head. So I'm really excited to talk to you more about that part today, and just sort of dig into what Minerva is.
There's nothing I love more than somebody saying turning the education process on its head, like really like thinking out of the box. I was telling you before we started today that my roots of my education were very much in progressive education, this idea of empowering students with information instead of burdening them with content. And so I'm really, really curious, just what is Minerva University? If you could just give us your elevator statement and kind of what makes you unique.
Yeah, so we are a private, nonprofit, accredited university based in San Francisco, California. But what makes us unique is that our students move around the world throughout all 4 years of their education, but they're always studying with us. So it's not study abroad where they're going to different universities around the world. Instead, they're studying with us, taking our classes and our curriculum. And really, all of Minerva's curriculum has been built to drill into students these habits of mind and foundational concepts that will give them the skills that they need to be successful now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. So the idea behind Minerva's curriculum is one that it's very engaging. We do all seminar style based classes. But the other idea is that instead of just having students memorize facts that they're likely going to forget down the road, we're trying to instill in them these skills that will help them approach a problem and find a solution. And what we're anticipating is it will be problems that we can't even yet imagine, right? Things that will happen in the future that we can't even really prepare students for, but we know that we can prepare them how to tackle those things. And so that's sort of the goal of Minerva.
It feels pretty bold for you to have left traditional education all those years and then join Minerva. What made you do that personally?
Yeah, I think personally, so I learned about Minerva many years before I started, and I started following them. And what I was seeing in the traditional setting is that costs were going up, right? But I didn't feel like students were getting more out of those costs and out of their education. I also felt like the traditional setting was really hamstrung. There's so many, you know, so much red tape that you have to cut through to do something innovative, to create something new. And I felt like it wasn't keeping up with the market demands. Whereas Minerva sort of came out of the gate trying something completely different. I loved that the founder of Minerva was very clear in stating that his model isn't the model, right? It's one way to do it. And he hoped that more people would come behind him and continue to innovate and continue to change the model of higher education. So I just love that thought process in general. And then another big piece that I haven't mentioned is Minerva's classes are very, very diverse. You know, our student body has over 100 countries represented. And that is so important to me. I just think that we have to get out there and learn from these different perspectives if we are really going to solve the world's challenges. And so it's sort of a combination of those things that really intrigued me. And then as I learned more, I was like, yes, I need to be part of this.
I love that. I feel a kindred spirit in that way, that our process for applying to college is innovative in the way that we're breaking out of just like it's a list to get in, but it's using the opportunity to launch into the world as a time to really reflect and to create, not just to get the list done. So you're just I'm getting really excited. I mean, I'm excited to the point where I feel like I want to get out of the big picture and like, what does a day look like? Yeah. And then I'm probably, the next thing I'll ask, and if you just want to dive in, is like, how does someone get in? What's the application process like?
Right. So let's talk about a day. So, you know, our students are split up all around the world right now. They typically travel with their cohort, so the group that they enter with. So our first years are in San Francisco. Our second years are in Seoul, South Korea. Our third years are in Buenos Aires, Argentina right now. And our fourth years are in Berlin, Germany. And in each of those locations, our students are living in a residence hall that is manned by Minerva. So we have staff on the ground. They're taking their classes. A really unique aspect of Minerva is that the actual class time is online. It's in a system that we built. So Zoom was not built to be a classroom. And I think we all learned that in 2020 and 2021. Minerva built Forum, our software, to be an active learning classroom and platform. And so all the classes are live, they're synchronous. Students have to attend. Attendance is mandatory. They have to be on camera. And they're there to really engage with the material. We don't do lectures at Minerva. So you can't just come in and expect information to be put into your brain. Students have to do a lot of pre-work to be ready for the classes. And again, to get in there and really start discussing the material and working with it and learning from it. So our students take their classes in these residence halls or out in the cities. We love that the online format gives our students a lot of flexibility. They can go to a cafe, they can go to a public library or a public space. And so it's really up to the student in terms of what works best for them, or they can, you know, sit at their desk in the dorm room and take the classes. But then outside of class, all of our curriculum is tied to the cities that they are in. So there are class projects or assignments that require the students to go out into the cities to do something. We want the students not to be tourists in these places. We really want them to engage. There are four credit civic projects, sort of like internships that students can do, where they go and they work with local organizations that are, you know, focusing on an area that the student ultimately wants to work in one day. So they're getting real hands-on experience a few hours a week at these organizations. They're learning about the difference between their area of focus maybe in Buenos Aires versus how it's done in Berlin, right? And so they're spending their time outside of the residence halls doing real hands-on activities like that. And then we also have a really robust student life team that organizes student experiences and events in the city. So there is the fun, you know, campus sort of activity that happens. But again, all with the goal of helping our students to really break out of their dorm rooms and to experience these places at a really deep level.
So many students are in one, I mean, I don't know if there's multiple cohorts or if there's just one class of freshman, yeah, sophomore.
That's a great question. So there's one cohort per year. So we call a cohort the group that enters in any given year. And they tend to range somewhere between about 150 to 180. So small size. But I really think that size gives us a lot of strength because all of the services at Minerva, we're able to really work with the students one-on-one. The community is really centered in those residence halls. So the students have traditions that they bring from place to place that sort of makes it feel like home, certain activities that they do, certain meals. A lot of our traditions revolve around food, which I think is pretty common at most universities. And so the idea is that that's where the community is. And then the students are also really encouraged to go out and make the cities their campus. So when they're looking to do their hobbies or to go exercise or just explore, the city becomes their campus instead of being limited to just one small area.
That's great. Now let's talk about how the heck do you do admissions?
Yeah. So as in all things Minerva, we're quite unique in our admissions process. So our application is made up of three parts. The first part is basic biographical information. Looks a lot like any other application might to a university. The second part is what we call a series of challenges. So you can think of these like timed little mini quizzes or activities. So there's a math challenge. There's a logic puzzle. There's a reading comprehension challenge and also a writing component. And again, some of these are meant to assess English ability. Some of these are really meant to help us understand how a student thinks and to really assess whether they can be successful in the Minerva model. The third part of our application is what we call our accomplishments section. And this is where, instead of just listing a bunch of extracurriculars that you've done, or instead of writing us an essay about one particular thing that you did that you're really proud of, we give students six spaces to tell us six things that they've done that they're proud of. This is usually things where a student spent their time. So it could be things like winning competitions or, you know, starting your own company, but it can also be things that are focused on self-improvement or helping your family, you know, in a time of need. There's a really wide range of them, but we get at a couple of things there. First is, you know, where are students passionate? Where are they spending their time? We're also looking for commitment, right? This isn't, I just went to volunteer once and then that was all I did, right? We're looking at, you know, how they invested themselves to create impact. And impact is a really big piece of who we are and what we do. And so that third section really helps us understand, again, the students' passions, what they're into, and whether, again, they can be a good fit for the university. So that's it. So we don't have an application essay. We don't take letters of recommendation. You know, it's very different. I think sometimes it throws students because they get into our application and they're like, whoa, this is, you know, more work than just clicking submit on the Common App. But what I hear from students that do complete it is that they feel seen. And that was our goal. We were really trying to get to understand the student in a way that we didn't feel like typical college essays or letters of recommendation could do. We're giving the students spaces, you know, to tell us who they are outside of their transcript, outside of, you know, just those like key academic numbers. And that's how we are assessing whether they can be successful in the Minerva model.
Did I catch that I haven't had a student go through this application process. I will this season. Is it time? Did you say it was timed? So it's like you go in and you do it. And so it's thought like you can have somebody sitting by your side helping or coaching you.
Right. So part two, the challenges, those are timed. There are six of them. You do not have to take all six at the same time. You can take one and then take a break for a day and then come back and do another one. Also, many of the challenges have like a practice round. So students can go in and they can practice as many times as they want, just so they get familiar with it. So no, you can work your way after the first part, which is the biographical piece, which is really short and simple. It opens our admission center and then students can sort of work through. A lot of our students do treat the accomplishment section a lot like a personal statement or an essay. So they'll do it out in a Word document and, you know, finesse it and perfect it before putting it in. With the challenges, they are proctored. So there's proctoring software. So students are, you know, they sign on and they say, I'm doing this by myself. I'm getting no outside help, things like that. But in terms of the accomplishments pieces, you know, they can certainly seek feedback from who they normally would get feedback from when it comes to advisors or counselors.
I think so much of that, I love that because what you're really looking for, what you said is people who've filled it out feel like they have been heard. What we say on our side and our practices, we want our students to develop their voice. And once they develop their voice, it's not just about writing the prompt and getting it right and getting it edited. It's like, what are you really trying to say? And sometimes the hardest part is for students to find their voice, to know what to say without having some kind of coaching and support, not somebody doing it with them or for them, but asking those kind of deeper questions that I feel like we've kind of lost in our education practice. So I guess, okay, I have a couple. That leads me to education pedagogy, right? Like you talk about being innovative. And I would love to hear more about the kind of pedagogical, I can never say that word, right? Innovations that you are integrating.
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned this a little bit earlier. So first of all, we are really focused on active learning. To the point where our classroom, our online classroom, on the professor side, there's a timer. So if they were to slip into lecture mode and talk too long, it's going to alert them. So really the professor is there to facilitate the conversation and also to guide. And our professors do one-on-one office hours with students to make sure they're grasping the material. But we do not do lectures and we are very, very strict about it. The other thing is that we're not doing traditional exams. So again, we're not trying to teach students just to regurgitate information that they've memorized onto an exam, because I think if we all think back to our own college experience, what do we remember, right? If you put me back in a class where I scored a perfect score at my university and had me take another exam, I'm sure it would be pretty bad because you just don't remember all those things. And what we know through the science of learning is that students remember by doing, right? And by really engaging in and working in the material. So that brings me to the next piece where we have those habits of mind and foundational concepts. So in Minerva Speak, these are like little hashtagged ideas. And the students start learning these in the first year, and then they start learning how to incorporate them into everything that they do. So all of their assignments, every lesson, every class that they have will have a list of what we call the HCs, habits of mind, foundational concepts, that they have to integrate in, that they have to utilize. And again, these are ways of thinking. These are ways of problem solving, of really, you know, trying to come at a problem when maybe you don't have all the information or you don't have all of the resources available. The other thing that I will say about our curriculum is very interdisciplinary. Minerva students come to us with a lot of big ideas and things they want to do. We see a lot of students that double major, and sometimes it's in areas where we wouldn't normally put them together, right? Like maybe somebody that wants to focus on arts and humanities and literature and computer science, right? But our interdisciplinary approach really enforces the idea that students need to pull from all the disciplines to be successful. So our classes are built that way. And our first year at Minerva, everybody takes the same classes. So they're all getting this sort of foundational knowledge and understanding, not only of our unique curriculum, right? It kind of gets everyone onto the same language of learning for Minerva, but it's also helping them explore all these different areas and learning how, even if you are a literature major, you can pull in those computer science concepts and ideas and skills into what you're doing. So I love that piece of it because I think our students come out far more well-rounded. They're less adverse to things they don't know or other disciplines that maybe aren't their forte, right? You know, I feel like I have a huge fear of math after my college math courses, right? But we teach our students to embrace that fear and to learn how to, again, use those concepts and ideas in anything that they do. And so it's that, those pieces that sort of combine to make the basis of the pedagogy at Minerva.
Great, I have a question. This question is from Lauren, and she asks, can you speak to the typical accepted student academic profile and who'd take a risk on that? Like, I'm just not sure I understand. And who'd take a risk on that might be under that profile? I'm not sure exactly what that question is, but it's like, how do you accept, what is a typical student you would accept? And then I also want to address neurodiversity in this, in your community and how you manage, you know, people who have different neurodiverse profiles?
Right, absolutely. So we don't have any sort of published, you know, score minimums or anything like that. I will say that the majority of students accepted to Minerva tend to be in the top of their high school classes, so top 10 to 15%. If they have taken something like an SAT or an ACT score, they tend to be in the top percentiles there. And we collect that information, but we don't really do much with it because we're not focused on those scores necessarily. The challenges piece of our application that I mentioned will get at some of that academic ability. You know, the math challenge sounds really frightening, but a lot of it's just, you know, basic math calculations that we know students are going to need to do to be successful at Minerva. The other big piece is that Minervans are well accomplished. These are students that have really done impressive things during their high school time or in gap years before coming to college. So again, it's not just being part of a bunch of clubs in high school. It's really about leadership positions, about winning those competitions, about going out of their comfort zone to do things or to have the self-awareness to improve themselves in some way, right? And so that pretty much describes like a typical admitted student at Minerva. So really strong academically in their schools. And we get applications from all over the world. So we do take into account the rigor of the schools and the locations and things like that. But then also just that drive. You have to be driven to be successful at Minerva. And so we are looking for that before they get to us.
Lauren clarified her question. I love it. It's like, I imagine us sitting, if we were fly on the wall in the admissions room when you guys are talking, who's someone you would take a risk with? Like, what is it when you're looking at that? Like, this could be, but we see something there. Like, what would that look like at the table?
I think that those are the students where maybe there are some blemishes academically, right? Or maybe they're just not quite as high in their class as we would like to see them or have, you know, the IB scores or the A levels that we would normally like to see. But then they show us through those accomplishments and through those other pieces of their application, real strength, right? And that really can help tip the scales for a student where, you know, maybe we're a little questioning on the academics. Can they be successful here? Can they not? But then they show us that, you know, all these really cool things they've done or ways that they've just really been dedicated to their passions. And that can really help sway a student in our way, because, again, we know that with that, they are going to have sort of the drive that they need at Minerva to be successful once here.
Maybe that fits into my neurodiverse question. Like, if you have, is there a space on the application to explain, you know, you might see more B's than A's, but, you know, because I have attention deficit or because I'm level one on the spectrum or one of those kinds of things, is it appropriate to explain? Is it, and then are there accommodations that are honored? How does that work?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention that earlier. So yes, there are places to explain it on the application. There's also a place for the college counselor to explain it. So if a counselor knows that there's something on the student's transcripts or that may not read as cleanly or that may give us pause, right? They can certainly upload an explanation to help flesh that out a little bit more. We also will go back to students when there's something like that to get clarity. In terms of accommodations, absolutely. So you can actually get accommodations for our challenges, right? So if you in high school have accommodations that give you more time on the test because you just need that, you can get that as part of our application process. And then at Minerva, we definitely embrace students from, you know, a variety of backgrounds and ways of thinking. And we find that those students can actually be really successful in our model because it's so different. So we do offer accommodations, you know, within the enrolled university setting of all shapes and sizes. A lot of times that looks very similar to any university you would go to, right? We have an office that you submit your medical documentation to, and then they work with you on those accommodations. But yes, I mean, it's something that we value because, again, when we're talking about the diversity of our class, right, it's not just diversity of location, different countries represented. We're looking at diversity of socioeconomic backgrounds. We're looking at diversity of thinking, at ways of learning, right? And all of those are really important to us.
I know one of the questions I have over the years from my students might be, and I didn't solicit questions from my students, I should have, but one thing I could imagine them asking is, like, do they have their typical freedoms? Is it like, are there curfews or are there check-ins? And I could imagine parents wondering about safety. Just any thoughts about that?
Absolutely.
Those might conflict. Like, parents are
they
like,
do usually conflict.
Kids are like, can I be free?
No, they absolutely typically conflict. So look, in terms of safety, so again, in every city where the students are located, we have staff on the ground. In most of our cities, we have staff living in the residence hall with them. The staff also carry a 24-hour emergency phone number. Our staff are typically local to the area, so they speak the language and they, you know, understand how if there are emergencies or things like that. In terms of curfews, no, our residence halls don't have curfews. There is an hour limit for when guests can be in the residence halls. But otherwise, no curfews there. But we do have policies in place to make sure that we know where students are. So students can leave the rotation city, especially around breaks like fall break or spring break. But there's a process for notifying Minerva, you know, where you're going, when you're coming back. Also, with our classes, requiring that every student is present and online and on camera, right? Our faculty sometimes are the front line of letting us know if a student's missing or if they haven't shown up to class and they haven't emailed their professor. And it sets off this chain of events so that, you know, across the entire world and the university, we're finding that student and checking in with them. We do offer a really robust counseling program. We have mental health counselors that are in person in multiple cities that we have. And then also students can do virtual counseling sessions because we also recognize that this can be tough, right? It can be hard to adjust constantly to new places. It can be distracting to be in some of these cities and, you know, distracting from your studies because the cities are so interesting and dynamic. So we do a lot to make sure that our students are well and safe. One question I get a lot is about geopolitical issues, right? What happens if one of our cities becomes unsafe? And we have plans in place for that as well. I think we learned a lot during the pandemic. That was sort of the first big one and hopefully the last big one where we had, you know, to move students around and to get them out of countries quickly and things like that. And so Minerva is very connected to the local governments in every city that we're in. They know we're there. The US government knows we're there. The embassies are on alert. So we do make sure that we're monitoring those situations. We also monitor situations, you know, if we're planning to go to a city and it's starting to look unstable for some reason, we will pull back and change our plan. So it does require us to be really nimble and to constantly be evaluating what's going on in the world. But we've been very lucky so far and have never had any major incidents. And that's the plan, to continue on that path.
I feel like I could talk to you for hours about this. We only have a few minutes left. Let's just talk about financial aid, merit money. Like, is everything still kind of typical of any other university as far as how that works?
Great question. And a very important one, I know, for most people. So at Minerva, we only do need-based financial aid. Okay. So we don't do merit money. We feel like need-based is the best way to be equitable, right? We can't show favoritism to students just because we like them more or things like that. So it is based on the family's financial background, incomes, assets, things like that. We utilize the CSS profile as part of our financial aid application, along with a Minerva questionnaire and some supporting documents. So students apply for financial aid in the same cycle that they are applying for admission. And that's very important because our goal is that if we offer you admission, we also offer you financial aid at that time if you need it. And so that you have all the information at once, right, to make your decision. But what I love about it is that our financial aid is eligible. Anyone's eligible for it. So regardless of citizenship or background, you're eligible for the financial aid package. It does include low interest loans, work study, and then scholarships and grants. So any student applying from anywhere can get work study or, you know, can get those scholarships and grants to help it make it possible for them to attend.
Wow, that's amazing. I love hearing that. We are ready to wrap up. Is there anything else you want to just one last minute have to say?
No, I think we covered a lot of really big topics. Thank you again so much for this opportunity. I think my information is on, you know, the event website. And so please, I encourage anybody with more questions or if they just want to sit down and chat with me longer about this, to please reach out directly. I love talking about Minerva and getting people excited about it.
Well, you've definitely got me excited. And I know I told you I have a few other students who are very excited. So this is going to be a great year and I can't wait for them to be able to continue with this process. And thank you for everything that you do and being part of innovation. I think that's the kind of key that we're leaving with today. And I really appreciate that.
I love it. Thank you so much, Laura.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.